Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Welcome to Reality TV, your source for snarky reality TV recaps, the OG 90 Day Fiancé podcast, and place where I, Jody, your best friend and inner voice, break down all the shows we love and love to hate. From TLC to MTV, Lifetime to Bravo, even WeTV and Netflix, let's break down all the cringeworthy moments together. Be sure to check out bonus episodes, extra content, ad-free episodes, and exclusive perks at patreon.com/realitypod and chat with me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at realitypod. And now, let's dive right in. Well, I have got a big show for you today and even a bigger week on Patreon, believe it or not. Today, you know, we're going to recap 90 Day Fiancé, of course, but I also asked my friend Troy, he's from Taste of Reality Podcast and tasteofreality.com, to come on and talk all about The Housewives. You're not going to want to miss it. He's just the best. He's much more professional than I am, and I'm borderline Danielle to Mohammed with my obsession with his mom, Prissy. She's just a treasure. We don't deserve to have her in our midst. Now, because this week's podcast right here that you're listening to is already jam-packed with all the trashy goodness, I gotta bump my Love After Lockup, Where Are They Now recap over to Patreon. Now, fear not, I will be recapping Love After Lockup here on the main podcast, but we just had a big show this week, so I gotta do what I gotta do. Now, if you have not seen the episode, the Where Are They Now 90-minute episode, you better go watch it because it is not to be missed. I mean, even my own mom, who hates reality TV, she managed to stumble upon the show this weekend. She texted me, "Have you ever heard of this show called Love After Lockup?" Because according to her, this episode made, quote, "even the housewives seem normal." So there you go. That's all you need to know. Now, also on Patreon this week, besides Love After Lockup, I have my Teen Mom OG bonus episode buddy, Amanda from Amanda Loves to Hate Teen Mom. She's coming on to chat with me about being kind of a 90-day fiancé. We're going to talk all about the fiancé visa process. She herself was a foreign bride, if you will. She's Canadian. She married and divorced an American, so I'm going to pick all the little details of her life and figure out what that interview and visa process is like, because she dropped a couple little questions in some of her podcast episodes, and I was just salivating at the opportunity to ask her everything that I want to know. And plus, you know, we basically laugh our asses off for hours straight whenever we podcast. She's one of the funniest people I've ever talked to. You're going to want to check it out. Oh, and if you sign up for Patreon, remember, you're going to get a Stay Salty keychain from me. I'm sending a whole bunch out this week to current subscribers, current members, and anyone who signs up. So scoot on over there, patreon.com/realitypod. Without any further ado, let's get into 90 Day Fiancé. Starting off with Ashley and Jay, because I always just got to start out with them. So Ashley is still pissed off at Jay. Remember, they had that fight over the straw burrito and Capri Sun about Jay being disrespectful. He's leaving the house without telling her. He doesn't think it's a big deal. He still doesn't seem to think it's a big deal. It's her problem that she's got trust issues. He's got nothing to do with it. I want to break this down for just a moment, because if you are in a relationship, I'd say at any stage, I want to know if this triggered you like it triggered me. So Jay says that he just ran up the street to go get something to eat. Well, in my world, them's fighting words, okay? You're leaving the house, that's number one. But if you're leaving the house to go get food without me, that's even worse than cheating, especially if you're going to go grab something like tacos or donuts. I think I'd rather find text messages between Dave and another girl than find out he went and grabbed Chipotle without me. That's just freaking cruel, right? Side note, I did find out, you know, one of my favorite Mexican restaurants closed because somehow this always happens to me that my favorite things on the menu or my favorite restaurants close. It's happened at least 5 to 8 times in my lifetime. Twice this happened to me at, of all places, the Cheesecake Factory. My two favorite things on the world's longest and largest fucking menu were taken off without warning. If you're wanting to know what they were, it was the chicken Caesar salad sandwich. It was chicken salad with Caesar instead of like a mayo base. And it was on a wonderful, like an Asiago or Parmesan focaccia bread. Yeah, took that off, no warning. And the second dish was my pad thai with tofu and shrimp. What the fuck? Okay, so where was I? Oh, moving on. Okay, but they're always going to go to bed happy, really happy. All right, so then they go to their wedding venue. It's very little people, big world, a big rustic farm. It's run by a guy with an Amish adjacent looking beard. The place was really pretty, charming, bright, very Pinteresty. Now the real juicy stuff happens on the way out. Ashley becomes aware of this fucking monster, racist asshole leaving comments all over their wedding website. The comments she was even willing to say aloud were absolutely horrible. So I can't imagine the things that she was leaving out. Just disgusting, appalling. And really what got me, you know, I'm not Jay's biggest fan, but it was seeing Jay's reaction. It really was heartbreaking. You could just see everything in his soul drop. And even though he doesn't know this person, and you know, in your mind, you should be thinking, okay, well, this person doesn't know me. They're closed-minded, racist asshole. But you know what? That shit cuts deep. That's the kind of hurt and targeted hate that stays in your DNA. And I guess we can only hope that this person spewing that hate experiences some level of karma in this lifetime. Now, let's get into Colt and Larissa. They're just like the sweet spot in the middle of this episode. So there's 53 days to wed, and Colt has gotten a new pair of sunglasses that he is very proud of. And he is just making every mistake that a man in a failing relationship can make. He proposes with the hope that a ring will make his girlfriend less talky and more zippy lippy. That is a huge mistake, or I should really just use a pretty woman phrase here. Big mistake, huge. So Larissa is so overheated emotionally, physically, that she has now qualified for a handicap placard. I think Colt has just become so accustomed to his sweat box that he, for some reason, no longer sweats. Now I'm going to break this down because my own mother, yes, Queen Carol, she's mastered the same ability. It is possible. My sister figured it out. Her internal thermostat, and let's just generalize this to Deb and Colt too, their internal thermostats are directly related to the cost of heating and or cooling their bodies. Hence, this is why I grew up without air conditioning in my home, and I'm, you know, just used to not feeling my extremities in winter. Oh, memory lane. Let's go down it, shall we? All right. Well, Larissa and Colt, they're going to go take a look at a few one-bedroom apartments, and by take a look at a few, as Colt says, it means one and done. So they go to this apartment complex because Larissa's just tired of living with Debbie and her stew. And without a moment to spare before Larissa shares the exact degree of swamp ass she's acquired in that car, they enter the building where a woman who stood in for Megamind's Roxanne Ritchie shows them the complex. If you've seen Megamind, it would be Tina Fey's cartoon character. I'm telling you, it's the living embodiment of this character. So Colt cannot get over the size of the door. What does that tell you? And Larissa enjoys the unit number 320 that's on the door. It's her number. I think it's safe to assume that's either the highest number that she's ever counted to in her lifetime, or it's the current balance in Colt's bank account. Now, the apartment really is beautiful. It's very modern. It's nothing that screams Colt and Larissa. And then we see the bedroom. So Megamind says the closet space is more than enough that anyone could ever use. And then Colt tries to play like the aloof husband on every House Hunters episode. And Larissa just loves the bed, which happens to be the most heinous mix of brown and metallics I have ever seen. My 9-year-old daughter even said, "That's brown and silver, ew." Now that is when Larissa throws Debbie under the bus with the cats. She says living with Debbie is like living with a cat. She disappears, but she appears when it's time to make your life hell. Potty meet kettle. I mean, what a freaking spoiled bitch. Now we learn that this apartment, if it comes furnished, is somewhere around $3,200 a month, and unfurnished is $1,650. Both of those amounts are more than Colt and Debbie's mortgage. Now, Larissa gives no fucks, of course, and tells Colt that Debbie can just suck it and find a place of her own. Now, I think we can all very quickly agree that Colt is far too codependent with his mom, but in this instance, he is absolutely right. Larissa knew the situation coming into this relationship with Colt. She said it's her dream to live like someone who doesn't live with their husband who lives with their mother. But listen, that's what you got into. It's just unrealistic at this point to think you can just say you want something and it's going to happen. And if that's what you want, then find another sucker on the internet if you don't like it. So at this point, Roxanne Ritchie, the Megamind lady, leads them out, and Larissa's stupid tiara sparkles in the sunlight, or maybe it was just heat radiating off her head in the car. What the fuck was that tiara? I don't know if she was trying to drop some subtle hints about getting married with Colt, but no. I think tiaras in general either don't do them, or they should be for after the, 8 p.m. hour. I digress. So they get home. Poor Debbie is sitting there. She's just devastated when Colt and Larissa tell her that, oh, they've actually been out looking at apartments today. Now, Larissa's thrilled, but Colt's eyebrows were like any child actor on Nickelodeon, or even better, like community theater production. The eyebrows are all over the place, you know, up and down. The story is in the eyebrows, very in tune with his emotions. Now, I noticed in this scene, hopefully you did too, that they got some couches and a table. Yay! Oh, wait. Interesting choice to have a side table as a coffee table right in the middle of the room. Too high, too small, too... just terrible, but, you know... You win some, you lose some. Maybe it was a compromise. Now let's talk about John and Fernanda. There's 38 days to wed for Fernanda, or shall I say 38, and she and John's mom and sister are going to go dress shopping. I think I just rolled some N's or D's. Maybe I really am picking up Spanish finally. Okay, so they're going to go dress shopping at this bridal boutique, and you know I had to look it up. I knew that they were in the Chicago burbs, so I looked up Voles or Voles Bridal. Happens to be in Lake Zurich. Nowhere near me, but A for effort, right? So they're at the shooting location, and this is where Fernanda and sister Jonathan talk about mother Jonathan's hesitance about getting married. And then it's like, ooh, is she going to show up? Is she not? And then, oh, there she is. Now, interesting, you know how I always love to follow TLC on Twitter during the show. They tweeted that Fernanda did not think that John's mom was going to come at all. And then they tweeted something along with the expression that she made that alluded to the fact that Fernanda was actually kind of disappointed that she actually showed up. Okay, so there's just no beating around John's bush. Oh, see what I did there? Yeah. In case you didn't know, Fernanda shared pictures and a video of John's, you know, I'm still recovering. I've never felt more in touch with my Catholic roots in for the past 20 years as I did when I watched it, because I was absolutely horrified. You don't want to see it. Let's just leave it there. So Fernanda, she's getting on her wedding dress. It's a typical TLC bridal experience. And now I'm saying that, I can't lie. I was totally jealous. I was a David's Bridal bride who was never really thrilled with my dress. I never had that say yes to the dress moment. Yeah, womp womp, tear tear for Jody. But whatever, I'm over it. So this first dress Fernanda chose, I thought it was beautiful, absolutely stunning. And then she tries on another dress, which they call the Jackie O dress. And it is the one. I gotta say, this dress made me like Fernanda even more. I like that she picked a modest, modern, sophisticated dress. I thought she was going to maybe go for, well, after I saw the little Snapchat video that I saw, I thought she was going to go for something much more risque and showing off. Okay, I'm already getting flashbacks. Let me just say this. Fernanda looked beautiful. She starts crying because her mom can't be there to share the moment. And that's when John's mom kind of softened up and came around. Oh God, there we go. Came around. Did not mean that. Okay, we're just going to move on from this couple before I... Okay, Kalani and Asuelu should be a very good palate cleanser, because Asuelu is just the opposite of... He's like the kindergarten to... the Playboy, Playgirl magazine. Guys, I can't speak. I'm traumatized by that Snapchat video. No one slide anything into my DMs anymore, even if I asked for it. I asked to see it. I did. I just had to know for research purposes, and now I'm fully regretting it. Okay, so Utah, the place where Kalani and Asuelu are, the place where I need to go to cleanse myself from everything I've seen. They are in the Holy Land, and Kalani feels like they're still adjusting to life together. She's starting to have doubts, especially about how Asuelu is taking care of little Ali oxen free. Now, even with Kalani's doubts of Asuelu's maturity, she's going to go dress shopping. You know, TLC did a little nudge to get her in there. So she's going to go with Kalini, her sister, who's coming to visit. Now, Kalini. Love her hair, by the way. Gotta know what hair products she uses. She is eagle eyes on Asuelu, and I am motioning like the two fingers to my eyeballs to Asuelu right now. She is all over his shit. I really am feeling conflicted about this, because this family definitely protects their tribe. That's great. However, I think they're getting too involved in Kalani and Asuelu's relationship. There's some blurred boundaries there that I don't quite understand yet. Let's fast forward to the dress shopping scene where producers do Kalani dirty. They zoom in on the tag on the dress to show that Kalani is a size 18. I mean, real nice, you guys. I think that was a real dick move, but Kalani, you're fucking gorgeous. I don't think it was the dress for Kalani. I think the dress was wearing Kalani. Kalani wasn't wearing the dress. Too much lace, too much shit. She's such a pretty girl. The focus should be on her, not the dress. But who knows if she's going to end up wearing it, because we find out she's got some sort of commitment anxiety. And the fact that she isn't sure if she wants to marry the someone, Billy Madison. Another fast forward to Kalani, Asuelu, and Kalini, and they're meeting for brunch. I really want to know what was on the menu, because Kalini seemed to have some sort of a potato fritter, but Asuelu had a gigantic hamburger that went untouched, by the way. Very offended by that. So Kalini wants to talk to Asuelu once again about her concerns. We keep going back to the same issue. Is Asuelu only here because Kalani is American and he wants to be in America? So she asks him some questions, kind of treads lightly. And Asuelu's answers, I mean, they were kind of confusing at first. I think he thought Kalini wanted him to answer a certain way. Like, yeah, sure, I think it's great that she's American. but it's not really the answer that she wanted. So he ended up having to explain that no, it is not just because she is an American, it's because he loves her. Now, somewhere in this conversation, again, I was really focused on the food in front of them because I'm back to my intermittent fasting, blah, blah, blah. Asuelu ends up saying that he's most surprised at how the family dynamic is here in America. According to him, Americans don't accept their in-laws as readily as Samoans do, and Kalani, she gets pissed. We learn that Asuelu's brother was on FaceTime the evening before, and he made some sexual joke about Kalani, and she didn't like that Asuelu didn't call him on it. It got really weird, really awkward. Here's where I stand on it. I think what brother Asuelu said was gross. It's out of line. Even joking, you just don't joke about your in-laws like that. However, Kalani is also inviting her family to be intimately involved in her relationship with Asuelu, and I don't think that's really healthy in any kind of relationship, especially someone who is just new to getting to know your family. I don't agree with everything that Asuelu does. I don't trust him completely alone with a baby, but again, there's still a learning curve. However, he's really getting ganged up on, right? It's like five people against one. He doesn't have anyone there to help build him up. All right, let's talk about Eric and Lita, the David and Annie of the new season. We're back with these two lovebirds, and they're on their way to look at the wedding venue. You see, Eric very cleverly booked and paid for, knowing that this wasn't going to be up to Lita's standards, this reception hall. I'm telling you, he is the kind of shyster that knows exactly how to manipulate a situation. He knows that if he has already paid for this place, it's going to be too late and he's going to lose too much money for Lita to change her mind, to cancel, or to find another place. It's so David-y. We find out that Lita had this massive wedding for her first marriage, which only lasted 2 years. Gee, I wonder why. She's, you know, such a catch, so easy to talk to. What could have gone wrong? Now, she knows her wedding to Eric is not going to be as, quote, extravagant. Because her Indonesian wedding cost, yeah, wait for this one, $300,000, and she had over 2,000 guests. Now, call me a cynic or a bitch, whatever you want to call me, I really don't care. I thought that this sounded like a very far-fetched number, so I pulled up the old Google and thought, you know, maybe Lita did a little currency exchange incorrectly, but turns out, 300,000 Indonesian, it's like rupiah or something, that turns out to be only 21 US dollars. So my theory didn't pan out exactly, but I just want to let you know I did the legwork and I still think that number sounds awfully high. I mean, $300,000, I think you would get more than four floral sprays and some hanging baskets, right? I think she's kind of full of shit on that. You know what Lita and Eric and all these couples should have used? Zola.com, the wedding registry that will do anything for love, and trust me, they will make it proper in order to make the happiest day of a couple's life even happier. But let's just say you aren't quite ready to walk down the aisle or you're taking the untraditional route. Zola still has your back. Whether it's your engagement, wedding, or decorating your first home, Zola uses technology and the best customer service to get you going. Zola is the easiest way to plan your wedding in the registry part. Oh my God, I want to get married again just to register on Zola. I'm not even kidding. First, you start from square one, from save the dates and invitations on any budget. And then the fun part, making your wedding website. They have well over 100 website designs you can choose from that you can personalize with details and photos. And the best part, it's free. True story, my daughter's teacher just got married and she had her wedding website on Zola.com. It wasn't only for her guests, but it was also for us families and students so that we could share in the day. She posted photos and details and very cleverly in the FAQ section, she was able to answer questions like, are kids allowed to attend? Are siblings invited? Brilliant. Now you can't forget about the registry. This is beyond genius because the Zola store has everything and more than you can imagine to create your dream registry or my dream registry. I'll send you my wish list. There's all the top brands from OXO, Cuisinart. You can even add vacations, Airbnbs, tickets to events to attend. There's one in Chicago, a Prohibition tour that looks mighty romantic. Maybe I'll even give you a kiss on the cheek at the end of the night. You can also return any items you don't like, even purchase them for yourself if you can't wait any longer. Perhaps you want to send me the hexagonal serving board for a dream charcuterie. From your registry, you can also create funds for your honeymoon, a future home. They also have the best completion discount on all the items still left on your registry, 20% off. Yep, you heard that right, 20% off. Now to start your free wedding website and also get $50 off your registry on Zola, go to Zola.com/reality TV. That's Zola.com/reality TV. One more time, Zola.com/reality TV. Now the two jingle nuts roll up to the Holiday Inn Express wearing all kinds of colorful garb. I mean, Eric's shirt is all swirly, twirly gumdrops on acid in 1976 with the browns and the yellows. And Lita looks like she's about to go take a dip in the pool. And she doesn't want to hold Eric's hand. I mean, God, I think she's horrible, but I'm kind of with her on this one. I can't blame her because just think about it. If Eric's face and head is constantly sweaty like it is, you know he's got that sweating hand disorder. You know, I keep seeing all these commercials about it. I'm sure you have too. Or it might be the constipation commercial, but there's one of them, same. It's where the prescription leaves you suicidal or you have irreversible chronic diarrhea and ringing in your ears and all that kind of shit, all of which Eric probably has. So turns out, you're going to be shocked by this, the Sleep Inn's conference room isn't proper. It's not up to Lita's standards for a 25-person wedding. Now, I was most offended by the cash bar. Who is going to invite me to an Econo Lodge wedding and you're not even going to give me a watered-down Pinot Grigio? You're not going to provide me with a bottom-shelf vodka tonic? Fuck that shit. Now, Lita was not worried about the cash bar. She's worried about any sort of DIY. She doesn't want to step foot in a party city. It is only fresh flowers from floor to ceiling for our delicate rose. Speaking of, next stop, they're meeting with a florist named Tiffany. This woman did not know what she was in for. She's also the least Tiffany of any Tiffany's I've ever seen. She was more of a Patty Simcox from Greece. Yeah, I found her. She's locked in a floral basement in Baraboo, Wisconsin. So Lita, she's got this grand idea on what the Hilton extended stay conference room is going to look like when she is done with it. It's going to be filled with flowers. And you know that Eric, he's going to make it happen for his love, right? On a $400 budget. That's bad. That's really bad, you guys. The florist breaks it to Lita that $400 is basically going to get her the dozen white roses that's behind her after they have died. I know Lita is delusional, but is she really stupid? Isn't she supposed to be a primary care physician back in Indonesia? I don't know what the fuck she's thinking, or if she just doesn't know the value of a dollar, because, listen, I'm not going to bore you with the details of wedding planning, because could there possibly be a more boring thing to listen to besides someone's birth journey or whatever? However, in a nutshell, I got married in 2005. I bought white roses in bulk from Sam's Club, made my own bridesmaids bouquets and centerpieces, and it cost me, back in 2005, a little less than $400. Now, that wasn't including my own bouquet, but what I'm trying to say is that Lita knew without a doubt that she was going to go in there and manipulate her way into upping whatever budget Eric had named. Even he said $1,000, she already knew she was going to far exceed that. And sure enough, they end up doubling the budget and Lita gets approximately 18 more roses. That's when Lita really embarrassed herself doing the make it rain motion. No, honey. Yeah. You're better off making it rain rose petals, which is really exactly what Tiffany should have recommended to them in order to maybe scatter some more color on the tables and shit in that place. Look at me, I'm an amateur florist. Now, like always, Eric just shoo-shoos away the growing debt that he's accumulating for this wedding by saying he'll make it happen. Sure, Jan, go ahead and check in with David and Annie and see how well that went for them. Now fast forward to the next day and Lita in that frickin' bedroom. She just can't wait to tell Eric that Alessandro is being fussy and cranky. Once again, I am 100% confident that Lita does not do the primary caretaking for Alessandro because she's talking about his behavior like he is a baby or an infant, and she just cannot wait to throw him at whoever walks into the room, whoever's willing to take him. Oh, he's being fussy. He's being cranky. Now, Lita's not happy with anything, of course. Not the bed, not the couch, nothing in that apartment. And Eric, oh, as much as he's an asshole, he really does not give a shit about Lita's complaints. You see, he's frugal. Spartan. Okay, if you're frugal or Spartan, you probably shouldn't go shopping at a custom furniture store. You are just asking for it, Eric. And if you claim to be into the Scandinavian style, go find yourself an IKEA and walk around there. I mean, Lita is walking around this place like she can afford even the vase that Eric mistakenly thought she was talking about. Lita, you have zero job, okay? So if you are bagging on Eric's frugalness, guess what? It's now your shared frugalness because your ass isn't working either. Now, I started laughing when the saleswoman, who knows these two should not be in there, comes over. Eric tries for a moment to pretend as if he may be able to afford this couch, and she says it's 25 or 30. And I'm thinking, 25 or 30 tens? Because this guy has not seen 2,500 or 25 grand since he watched an episode of DuckTales with his daughters. Now they're laying on a bed and Lita's still thinking she can talk Eric into purchasing anything that day. He says no. She storms out like the overgrown, spoiled toddler she is. And that's when Eric starts turning into Rain Man right before our very eyes. Definitely stressful. Definitely going to make it work. Definitely stressful. Definitely, definitely. But fuck Lita. For real. She starts going on this tangent, saying she doesn't like child support, and that's not the way they do it in Indonesia. And she doesn't like Tasha, and she doesn't like having them live together. Well, guess what? Get the fuck out. And the answer to your question, Lita, do you have to accept everything? Yeah, you do have to accept everything. If you don't like it, and you don't like the situation, no one's keeping you here. Go home. Go back to your rich family that you constantly brag about. And you know what? If you're going to call off a wedding because you want your fiance to spend money on a bed instead of spending money on their child, well, then, I mean, that just shows how deep in love with him you are, right? She is just such a freaking immature bitch. Send her back. And I hate saying that because I feel like I sound like every person I can't stand in our nation and government, but listen, it's as easy as this. You don't like it, then go. All right, now let's talk about Steven and Olga. Jesus, you guys, this is so dark. It's not even, I know it sounds bad to say, it's not enjoyable to watch, but really, I mean, my heart just breaks in every one of these scenes, or actually it vacillates. Is that a word? A vacillating fan? Oscillating? Oscillates? What? Vacillate? Ew, am I thinking, back to John and, what I'm trying to say is it's extremely difficult to watch someone be so controlling, so abusive, and so cruel to someone in a vulnerable situation like Olga's in. I'm not trying to throw that word abusive around flippantly. For example, he's trying to tell her when she should wear a coat. He's yelling at her about the car seat that he himself couldn't even figure out. He's just such an ass. He can never take ownership in his own behavior. You know, Olga is not only trying to take care of her newborn at this point, she's also trying to heal her own body from a C-section, and she's having to tiptoe around Steven's mood swings and his, I'll be nice here and call them quirks. I think he's just being stubborn just to be stubborn. Olga's only job right now is to keep her newborn alive and provide nurturing and love to this baby. It's not to make Steven happy. Olga really just needs an advocate there. It looks like she's going to have a friend come visit next week, but I'm telling you, one of us needs to be there. Put this asshole in his place. I haven't looked online yet to see if he's getting his ass handed to him, but I sure hope he is. The scene I personally love the most was when he goes to the pharmacy to buy the baby's medicine because he has no idea what he's paying with. It reminds me of a time when my brother and I, we were in Costa Rica for my sister's wedding. And to this day, he has said he's never felt like a bigger idiot. And this is what I'm really hoping that Steven felt like too, because he should feel like an idiot. So what ended up happening was my brother and I were in this hotel in downtown San Jose, and we were both starving. He left the hotel. He was going to go walk down to, it was like a Burger King or McDonald's. He gets there. He points to the menu board like, yeah, that's what I want. He's got no clue what the amount is, what the guy's asking for. And as my brother would say, the money was all colorful and shit. It's just Monopoly money at that point. So he just laid out all the cash he had on the counter and let this guy just take whatever the hell he needed. And still to this day, the guy could have taken $350 and my brother would not have known any different nor cared at that point. So like I said, I really just hope Steven experienced even a fraction of the humility that my brother felt at that moment because he certainly deserves it. Later at the apartment, they're fighting once again and Steven turns everything into a pity party for Steven. Buddy, if you want to be a good dad like you claim you want to be, it's got to be about your son 24/7. It's not about you. It's not about what you want. It's not about your childhood, your past. It's time to make the present happy for your kid. Your happiness will come when the kid is like, I don't know, 3, maybe 4, but you got to put yourself on hold. Steven says the last thing that he wants to do is to make Olga cry. And I wrote down what he said. This is his quote. There's no reason to cry. You're putting all your energy on him. You need to focus on us. You give all your attention to him. I just want you to be happy. The fuck? This is what I mean. That is classic abuser talk. He is just gaslighting her. And no matter what she says or what she does, it's against him. And he turns it around like she's not doing enough, or when she does something, it's not what he wants, or it shouldn't be about the baby. I mean, it's just so fucked up. I can't even explain it. It's just classic verbal abuse. I really, really hope that she does not stay with him. I hate saying that because every kid should have their mom and dad if it is a healthy environment, healthy relationship. Olga just seems far too smart, far too sensitive to be with this guy. Get out. Don't stick around with this asshole. Hopefully her friend talks some sense into her. So next week on 90 Day Fiancé, we see that Ashley cancels her wedding. Cousin Colt, you know, my boyfriend, tells Larissa to fuck off. Yes. Kalani continues her anti-marriage quest and Lita kicks Tasha out. Now stick around because up next, I have my buddy Troy and we're talking Real Housewives of Orange County. Guess what I just did? I bought a present for my Secret Santa on Poshmark. Because shopping on Poshmark is like shopping from millions of closets from across America, you're sure to find the perfect thing for whoever is on your holiday list this season. Now, my secret person is way more stylish and trendy than I could ever hope to be. So that's where Poshmark came in handy. I could scroll from the comfort of my warm, cozy couch and not have to fight my way through a crowded place like a mall, with all the germs and the people. You just download the free Poshmark app, get deals on women's, men's, children's clothing and shoes. You could even score some amazing deals on skincare and makeup. If you're like me and you need winter boots for your kids, get on over there right now. I saw some brand new L.L. Bean, some North Face boots, even Sorrel. I saw the same pair of girls' Sorrel of Joan Arctic boots for over $100 at Nordstrom last weekend. And there's a brand new pair on there for $60. Now, I also like that you can make sellers an offer if you see something that you love. Even shipping is made easy whether you are buying or selling. Now, the best part is that listeners of Reality TV, get $5 off your first purchase. You just enter the referral code REALITV, R-E-A-L-I-T-V, when you sign up. Easy as that. Again, Poshmark.com, code REALITV, the easiest way to buy and sell fashion. All right, guys, welcome back. I have Troy from Taste of Reality here with me.
Hi, Jody.
Hello.
So happy to catch up with you. It's been too long.
I know. Troy is, we were just talking about this, you're the much more professional, nicer version, everything that I would like to be.
You guys actually should have heard us. We were basically just stroking each other's egos. It was kind of gross, but we actually think really highly of the, you know, of the other. I think she's a pro. She thinks I'm a pro, which is crazy to me.
No, your voice. You have the voice of an angel.
I wish everyone agreed.
Okay. Now I want to talk very briefly about your mom, because your mom, Prissy, that you have in your podcast every now and then, I would almost think she's a made up character, because she is just, she's a legend.
I wish that she was a made-up character. Like, if you could imagine growing up with this woman, you have no idea. Like, she loves to drink. She she has no censor. She's reached that age at 80 where she has no fucks to give, right? Like, she just lets loose on everyone. She's currently in a fight with Leanne Locken from Real Housewives of Dallas. Like,
okay, well, I wanted to ask you about this. So you had your mom on, and she was talking about Leanne, and she is not a fan of Leanne.
No, not, that's to say the least, yeah.
And then you had Leanne on, and Leanne had listened to the episode. I was on the little adductor machine at the gym, also called the good girl, bad girl, you know, like you're squeezing your legs together and out. And I was cringing. I had to stop, because she was talking about your mom, and you're interviewing her. And I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Well, what she had to say about my mom was nothing in comparison to what my mom had to say about Leanne. Like, I'm pretty sure my mom said, Leanne needs a lobotomy.
Yep.
Like, horrible things. I mean, I occasionally have to censor things that my mom says. Like, I have to edit stuff out. I mean, it's pure gold. I mean, she's a national treasure. That's
the
truth.
Oh, she really is.
But actually, so Leanne and I had corresponded a year earlier, because before I ever did the podcast, we did this transcripted interview with Leanne. So I had talked to her one time before, but it had been a year. Well, Leanne tuned in, okay? Okay. Leanne tuned into the episode with Prissy. My mom's name is Prissy, of course. And
is that her given name?
It is her. That's what she's gone by since she was a little girl. Her name is Patricia, but she's been called Prissy since she was very small. Oh. And but Leanne tuned into the episode, and she left a comment on our Instagram post and said, your mom is a special woman.
No.
So I had to reach out, and like, we convinced her to come on and talk about it. And she got her own digs in towards Prissy anyway. So.
She did. I have to say, I think Prissy won this one, though.
No, Prissy wins, hands down.
Prissy,
when you have
always wins.
Nothing to lose, like, all she has left to lose is years, you know? And
what was she like as a mother?
She's not afraid of a fight.
What was she like,
Prissy,
as a mother?
She grew into her craziness. I'll just put it that way. She was like a level-headed teacher, sweet, kind-hearted. But she just always had that like Southern sass about her, you know? And she gets it from her mom too. So it just kind of runs in our family, I think. But she just, you know, she's got that Southern sass, and she has this sort of cackle that is just intoxicating sort of. And anyway, it sounds weird saying that.
No, but, I love it. What is her favorite cocktail?
She's a character. She's all about Southern cocktails. She loves a whiskey. She loves like a whiskey sour. She'll do a mint julep, glass of wine. She's not turning away anything. I'll just put it that way.
Wow. Hence the I'm with Prissy items that you have on your new Taste of Reality source. So tell us.
Yes.
I'm just already chatting away here. So you have your own podcast, Taste of Reality. That's what Leanne had called into. And then you also have tasteofreality.com.
Yes. The podcast is just a small part of a much bigger machine. tasteofreality.com came first, actually. It's a site that a friend and I started to help other fans, because we were fans, to help other fans find locations that they had seen on their favorite shows. And we compiled this huge database of locations, and then we added a section for gossip. And now we also track fashion. So you can visit tasteofreality.com. You can find all the locations from your favorite shows. So if you're visiting one of those cities, you can find out where they hang out, where they went on TV. You can find what they're wearing, all the news and gossip. We have our podcast, and we just opened the store, like you just mentioned.
Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about the store in a bit, because some of the things on there are cracking me up. I mean, you guys have 90 yeah. Day Fiancé, Real Housewives, yes. Vanderpump Rules, right?
We're covering the gamut of all the best shows.
Incredible. Yeah. So maybe while you're listening right now, we're going to talk some Real Housewives. You can go meander through the Taste of Reality store. So we met because I had entered a raffle or a, what do you say, a competition, contest?
Yeah, we did a giveaway. Taste of Reality sponsored basically an event where we invited 20 fans to come and join us at the ropes course in Orange County that was featured on this season. And then we went to the Quiet Woman after. And you were there.
Yes. And everyone has heard this story to death. So we won't.
It's like old news now.
Exactly. long, long ago. So the ropes course did make a very brief appearance in this Real Housewives of Orange County. I'm getting some Leanne in the blood. Orange County. Oh, Freudian slip. So we were watching the reunions, part one and part two. I wish together, but other sides of the country. So this part two, Shannon, holy cow.
Right.
I think the wheels are falling off.
The wheels have already fallen off. And we have a skewed perception, mind you. Like, because we've seen her in the flesh.
Not
right?
to rub it in, right?
No.
Let's tell the story
again.
I
wish I hadn't, because I know. You were a big fan. Like, you told me before, whenever you were on my podcast, you said she was above Dorinda for me.
For sure. She was my ride or die, loved her. I totally thought that I got her sense of humor.
Right.
I loved her.
And today, I mean, I'll just put it this way. If she got hit by a truck, I'd feel awful for the truck. Like, I cannot stand this woman.
Would you have a headstone in therapy for the truck? Here lies
right.
the Mack
right.
truck. She was so thirsty trying to squeeze her boobs up and in right at the beginning. She's like, oh, Andy, did you see my boobs? I'm just trying to tuck them in here. No, Shannon, no.
Yeah, it is. It's just thirsty, and it's about the attention. I'm just tired of hearing about David.
Oh,
can we move? Can we move on? 5 years later.
Yeah, it's way too much. Now, what has she done to her face? Because recently, Dorit has done something.
Oh yeah,
drastic.
Dorit.
I don't even know. It's so much work that's been done. I can't even pinpoint what one thing it is.
It's the gradual move towards looking feline for everyone.
Ooh.
Like, that's just what's in the pamphlet whenever you walk in, I think.
Yeah.
Well, but I don't know. I didn't notice Shannon's face looking so different.
Oh, I did. There's something something with her lips. Something's been pulled in. There's almost like a puckered quality. And when she walked into the Quiet Woman that night, the very first thing that caught my attention was that she looked puffy then. And I think things have settled because she definitely
like
looks different.
Post-op.
Yeah. Remember Vicky, how she was just really swollen. She was retaining fluid in her face. So I think she's gotten something else besides that under eye thing that we saw, or lids, whatever it is that she had done. Now, Vicky.
Yeah, maybe. Okay. I may be alone in this, but I think that Vicky looks better than ever. And I don't
do
like
too.
Her. Like, okay. I'm glad we agree.
I said, I recapped the part one last week, and I said, I think Vicky has come full circle to almost back to her original face, which is where she should have left it.
It's what her original face should have been. Now,
yes.
I feel awful saying that to a certain extent, but talk about a transformation. I mean,
yeah,
she is the poster child for plastic surgery.
She really is. Now, Emily, I actually think is the most naturally beautiful of all of them. She's very pretty face.
Gorgeous, successful, smart.
Yeah.
Beyond just looking great, right? Like, What's
she
not
really
to
is
like?
A presence. She really does have a presence about her.
Yeah.
In a good way.
I think she's
I like
gorgeous.
Her.
And naturally gorgeous,
yes,
right?
Yes. However, I didn't like the dress.
No, not a fan of
it. It didn't
dress.
Do her
By
justice.
By the way, like, anyone who is sending Emily nasty messages, like, shame on you. Because if she is fat, then
some
of us need to be craned out of our homes.
And by some of us, you're probably talking to me. But Emily,
I'm talking about me.
Please. She was saying at that night, I'm going to be really annoying and keep bringing it up, but she kept saying over and over quite a few times about her getting messages that her whole platform this season was, you know, body positivity, which to a certain extent, you're going to be self-conscious. But I mean, I would too, but not if I looked like her. She looks incredible.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Tamara, I think, looks hot. She looked incredible to me.
Tamara, I 100% agree with you. Jesus, we're just never going to disagree on anything.
The boobs are a little disturbing. The cleavage is a little geometric, but she's beautiful.
She's got a little bit of a botched boob job. There's like the skin tag that's connecting them in between. I think that she's the hottest housewife. I agree with her when she says it. But I have to ask, her dress, what the fuck was that? Like, she looked like her name should be Miss Trixie, and she just, like, walked out of a saloon in a spaghetti western.
Yeah, yeah, but somehow she makes it work, because I was just, I think it's the hair. Her hair was perfectly done,
it
and
was
she's
spot
had
on.
Some bad yeah. hair for reunions. Kelly just always looks good, so I feel like I can't even say, oh, she looks great,
yeah.
because she always
yeah.
looks great.
Yes.
And Gina, I really like her. For my taste, it was too sparkly.
It fades my memory, even. So that just means it, like, sort of paled in comparison, I think.
Yeah. Okay, so let's get into the topics. There's first a flashback to Vicky's cocaine and child abandonment allegations towards...
Just that Vicky. Little tiny accusation. No life-altering
right. and
rumors there.
She sticks to her guns so strictly. Do you believe her? Do you think there's any truth to either of those allegations?
I do. I do believe her. But I think that whenever it comes to... I don't think she has any hardcore proof herself. But I think whenever it comes to rumors like that, like, there's... housewives code that you just don't maybe bring that to the show. But if I had to really ask, if I thought Kelly Dodd liked to have a little fun once in a while, and I don't fault her for it, by the way, like do what you want to do if it's not hurting anyone else.
Right.
I would have to say, yeah, I could totally see it happening. What do you think?
Oh my God. I'm so jaded. Cause I don't even know how people do cocaine. I'm so naive with this kind of stuff. I don't know. Because in my mind, I'm still, you know, fifth grade dare education. Like, say no to drugs. But again, I don't care if someone else does it as long as you're not, like you said, hurting someone. I am just totally naive to it. So I don't even know what it would look like if someone was high on cocaine. Is that what you even say, high?
Yeah, I think that she's going to deny it, just like she should,
right.
until the cows come home. She's got a family to protect.
Yeah.
You know?
So it was dirty, even if it is
true,
it was dirty for her to throw that out there.
It wasn't surprising coming from Vicky. Like, I didn't find it that shocking, because week by week, and this reunion just proves it, Housewives of Orange County Weekly is just our reminder that Vicky is a terrible person, you know?
You know what? You can say no, and we can just leave it there.
Okay.
Do you want to talk about the email that you received from Ms. Victoria Gummelson?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I totally blanked on it.
This is a different. This is what I mean by you're a professional. That email to me would be my calling card. I would print it up. I would hand it out to strangers that I didn't even know and be like, look what I just got.
I let it roll off because I thought it was so funny. So Vicky was actually scheduled to come on my podcast, because one of the things that is a little bit different about my podcast, yes, we talk some shit, right? But I also love getting into the stars' businesses and any anything that they want to promote business wise. I like picking their brain about it and sharing that with other people. And she wanted to come on to talk about Kodo Insurance, especially because it was growing. Okay, I'm boring you guys, but
no, you're not. Are you kidding?
She was scheduled to come on, and after the Orange County event that you were at, where Shannon had an absolute fit, Shannon basically got in Vicky's ear and told her basically to blacklist me. Oh, and God. So Vicky's email said, so I said, hey, Vicky, I just want to confirm with you that we're set for this Friday. I mean, this is 2 days before, so canceling is just like really unprofessional anyway. But her email response was, Shannon told me exactly what you're up to, and I am not interested anymore. And I was like, and I responded in kind. In fact, I had a lot more to say. And I was like, let me get this straight. I was like, your friend who embarrassed herself in public 2 days ago has told you that we're up to something fishy when you have the opportunity to go and listen to my podcast and see that it's right. pretty wholesome. It's funny. Right. We get down and dirty, but overall, it's just a good time. You have the opportunity to go and listen, and you think we're doing something nefarious here.
Right.
If you have to wonder, you need to check and see who your friends are, because if somebody calls himself your friend, they wouldn't be telling you not to come on and just promote your business.
Right.
Right. So anyway, so that was the end of our exchange.
Well, you said something to her, like, you've been promoting her business and people are interested in it for the past couple years.
Yeah. We've been driving traffic to Kodo and any housewife's business. You know, we promote that on tasteofreality.com as part of our locations function. And we've been promoting Kodo Insurance and this silly like Mexico trip that she's doing in tandem with Hyatt Hotels or whatever. Anyway, no harm, no foul.
Well, she'll then she responded. Didn't she respond something like, there's no need for further contact or something?
Yeah. She was like, there's no need for further discussion, end of conversation or something like that. So it's fine, though. Like, I'm not personally offended. If anything, it's a win.
Oh, no, it's funny. I thought it was hilarious.
Yes.
Because, she was getting all worked up in that little Kodo Insurance.
Right. I was patting myself on the back because I felt like I was producing back-to-back Housewives episodes, you know?
Right.
So
unbelievable. All right. So back to Housewives. Shannon, poor Shannon, going from 14,000 square feet to 4,000 square feet. And life is so rough. David's girlfriend is supposedly pregnant. I had not heard that.
I hadn't heard about the pregnancy either. And I have maybe some different feelings about David. You know, I know that for a lot of people, they like Shannon and they feel close to her story, especially if you've ever been through any sort of infidelity in your life and things like that. But I'm going to play devil's advocate here for a sec. Does anyone doubt that he is probably out there living his best life post-divorce now? Like, I'm sorry, but if I had been berated by this woman for 10 years, I would maybe be living my best life at this point. I don't think the cheating part of it, you know, was right. I'm not condoning that in any way, but I really doubt he's losing any sleep over it.
Yeah. Why should he have to just sit home and not date and all that kind of stuff?
I think the girlfriend would make a great addition to the show.
Oh, could you even imagine?
I would live for it. It's exactly what the show needs.
She would be walking off, storming off. She wouldn't be able to handle it. What do you think about her Bret Michaels outfit? Do you remember that? She was at, what was it, Emily's house? And she had to change into her Bret Michaels outfit to go to the concert.
Oh, right. Yeah, I don't know.
It was just
she looks like, but she looks like Bret Michaels, right?
She really does.
She's so in love with him. She's basically she's manifesting that form.
Yeah, she really is. Okay, so during the reunion, we talk about passive-aggressive tacos that the new girlfriend makes, and she makes them better. Her daughter told her so. We got a flashback to the ropes course, the infamous ropes course, and the Mexico. Was that a trip to Mexico they went on? where Tamara sprained.
She broke her foot. Yeah.
What do you think about A Little Taste of Reality, Mexico Andale's outing?
Oh, 100%. By the way, one of the things on tasteofreality.com, if you look at the top nav, whenever you go to the website, there's a little icon that says tours, and we've curated like 26, 27 different tours where we will guide you through all of the things you should do in each city. And Puerto Vallarta is one of them. It's called Vicky Gunvalson's Guide to Puerto Vallarta. And Andalés is on there. You can find out where they stay, where they go out to eat, where they drink, things to do. It's all there for you. I'm so down, by the way.
Oh my gosh. Honestly going to secret this out to the universe. That's my 2019. I'm putting that out right now for 2019.
I'm going to actually one up you right here. You watch Southern Charm, right?
I've seen a couple episodes, but I have not. Everyone tells me that.
Not to get too off track here, but I'm inviting you right now. In fact, I'm forcing you to come. I'm teasing this out. We are going to do something, maybe something in Charleston this year, similar to what we did in Orange County. So stay tuned. But I love your idea about doing like a Orange County Puerto Vallarta trip. Amazing.
Okay, I just wrote it down. I'm so down for this. You don't understand. I'm a Midwest mom in the middle of a freezing winter.
I'm happy
this
to
sounds
take
so
you
good.
Away anytime.
Oh, please do. And my daughter thinks you look like Freddie Mercury, and she's obsessed with Freddie Mercury.
It's the stash.
It would be fully endorsed by my daughter if I left her dad for you. Let's talk about Emily's marriage here.
Okay.
What the hell is going on?
All of the great things I have to say about Emily, both of us, I do not get the marriage. I don't get the shotgun wedding and the proposal over GChat. That's not sexy to me. I wouldn't be down with that. They were giving her a hard time about her relationship, and I kind of get why. It's a little confusing.
I know. I do too. I hate to speculate about people's marriages. I actually am totally lying saying that because I actually love it. But I just had to say that to sound like...
It's all that normalizes the rest
right,
of us.
Right. So she uses everything else I'm about to say. I think after her talking about it so much in private, whatever you want to call that, at the Quiet Woman that night, that was besides her saying people call her fat, that's all she talked about was people were bashing her, that they've been through a lot of infertility stuff together. And everyone's so
mean to
him.
To her husband. Yeah.
Yeah. Now I'm sure my husband would be pissed off having cameras around all the time, people saying that he's an asshole and all that. But as some of the wonderful members of my Facebook group were saying, do you think it might be a case of doth protest too much? You know, like there's some truth to that, and there's a little over apologizing for him.
I think that there is a little bit of that. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. I think there are some weird red flags.
Maybe she doesn't realize she should be treated better. Or what do you do in that kind of a situation?
Which is bizarre because she seems like a really strong woman in every other aspect of her life.
Yeah.
You know, or not. Or we're just, you know, we can't believe that a woman is with a Mormon guy and they don't discuss religion. I mean, I think that there are just kind of some confusing things about it.
I wonder if he wears the magic underwear.
Oh, it's like the sheet. Oh, no, that's not the same. The sheet that comes in between you and there's just a hole in the middle.
Oh, my God. I don't know about that.
Yeah, I don't know if it was Mormons or Hasidic Jews, but like they put it's a sheet between you and there's a hole where exactly weird.
Mormons have I shouldn't say magic underwear. That's probably pretty rude to say that, but they have certain undergarments that they wear into the temple or something like that.
Ooh, that sounds.
Now we're going deep. We're going.
It doesn't sound cute.
No, it doesn't.
It's not. So it's not sexy. Magic underwear doesn't sound sexy.
No. Okay, so we get a lot of Eddie's heart journey. I can't. Tamara, I feel like she's got so much more to give besides a health storyline. I mean, that sucks.
Yeah,
he's got some heart stuff, but no, come on.
It's the least interesting part of her whole life. By the way, like, it's really interesting that Tamara and Eddie are together and seem to be going strong, because OC is where relationships go to die, right? Kelly and Michael, dysfunctional as F. Shannon and David hated each other from the beginning. Gina has been getting divorced since before the show. That's Vicky true. And anyone is a recipe for disaster. And then we have Tamara and Eddie, who have like a semi-normal relationship. I don't want to hear about that.
I don't. Yeah, and I don't think that they're having as much sex as they say they do. There's no way.
Not with his heart, no. Because I think you actually have to be able to like pump some blood up in there
and her
to get
foot.
Things moving. You know? Oh, right. Between that and her foot, no way.
I'm not. I don't know. I'm not buying it. Okay, so tell me a little bit about Cut Fitness in relation to Orange County, because. As someone who is not from California, who had never been there before, I'm thinking, oh, everything's in Orange County, like we're all in one city. But that's not the case at all.
Oh, right, because they were giving Shannon a hard time about not going to the gym. Orange County is enormous. I mean, it's enormous. And it can take, especially during rush hour, it can definitely take, I can't believe I'm having Shannon's back here, but it can take an hour to go 10 miles, you know, or more. So it really is unreasonable to expect her to go over there. Also, given the fact that David lives right next door, I doubt that she'd be hanging out in that part of town anyway. So, but Orange County is in Rancho Santa Margarita. It's actually just across the street from Vicky's office. It's not necessarily central, so it doesn't really make sense for her to go there. We have been, by the way. I actually did a review on tasteofreality.com. If anyone wants to check it out, Eddie taught the class. It was kind of hot.
Really? Was he good? Was it a good workout?
He was good. It was a good workout. I was struggling through it, but anyway, yeah, it was a good time.
All right.
Do you think, what was, I'm confused about that entire drama anyway. What was it Tamara so upset about?
I think it's promoting people's business when it comes down to it, because went to go promote the HSN or QVC food, and she's not promoting Cut Fitness. I thought, so Vicky lives in Cotto, and now Tamara moved to Cotto, but Cotto is far out.
Yeah, it's sort of in its own zone. I mean, it's a gated neighborhood, really big neighborhood, by the way. It could be its own city. In fact, I think there are some little stores within it. But it's sort of off the grid. That's off the grid.
Okay, so that's what Gina was telling me, because this comes up in the reunion, how Gina was going to Tamara's birthday party, which was September 2nd.
Okay.
And that was that same weekend as the Taste of Reality event.
Yeah.
So Gina was saying, tomorrow I'm going to go meet with her husband. And she's like, my husband, whatever. At that time, I think she was still thinking that they might get back together, because she said she was going to the beach with her kids with him.
Well, whenever I interviewed her that night, she said, "We're all to all the haters. You can go and listen to this on my podcast. To all the haters, we're still together. We're still married. We're doing great." So I don't know what that was all about.
But then she said, "We're going to Tamara's birthday party, and Kelly's going to be there, and Emily's going to be there." And she said, "But yeah, not after tonight, not Shannon, no freaking way." And of course, you know, they had their whole thing with Shannon. So when Tamara said, oh yeah, September 2nd, and you know, Shannon wasn't going to be invited because she didn't like that Tamara's mom talked about her water bill. I mean, Shannon.
Yeah. Shannon. Yeah. Shannon.
How old were you when you knew that you had to pay for your water?
Probably I moved out at a young age. So I was probably 16 when I had my own place, or I had a roommate. So it wasn't my own place, but, and I think it got shut off, and that's how we learned, because teenagers don't know what they're doing. Right. And I didn't have anyone coaching me, because my mom was off drinking, and, she had me late in life. So she had basically retired from parenting at that point. Anyway, I think we got our water shut off, and then that's just whenever I learned.
Okay.
So I had to learn the hard way. So, but yeah, from an early age. But of course, you hear your parents talking about it, right?
Yeah, that's
like,
what I was...
We got to pay the bills.
Exactly. I thought that was bizarre, and that she got so offended by it, it was ridiculous. Now, the New York trip, that seemed to be the straw that broke the camel's back. I wish we would have had cameras there to see this. So Tamara is saying she went on a trip with, was it just Tamara, or was there another housewife with them?
No, there was, I think Kelly was with them. Okay. Is that right? Yeah, I think Kelly was with them.
And Shannon wanted to stay at the Plaza, the more expensive hotel.
I love Kelly's comment. I think it was Kelly. Who stays at the Plaza?
Yeah.
Right.
Who stays at the Plaza? God, she's so
old ladies.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And Tamara stole her makeup artist, and it was the makeup artist celebrating that day. And
no, Shannon stole Tamara's makeup artist.
Oh, that's what I meant to say. See,
yes.
You're the pro. You're saving me here.
I think her name is Melissa.
Melissa, right?
And I think Melissa is like the housewives' go-to makeup artist. Like, she started out doing the Jersey Housewives, and now I think she just does a ton.
If that's one person you don't want to piss off, it's the makeup artist.
Yeah, exactly.
They could do you dirty. But how could Shannon be so tone deaf or so socially inept that she doesn't realize everyone around her is seeing something and getting a vibe from her that she is not seeing, that she's giving off?
Right. If everyone around you has an issue with you, maybe you're the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's weird. I think my understanding is that she comes from a wealthy family herself. Money is not all from David. So I think she's just had a silver spoon her entire life. And that's the only thing I can think of.
She's just used to everyone saying yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, but now it's like she's older and it's not cute, you know?
Do you think the boyfriend that was with her in September at The Quiet Woman is the same boyfriend that she said was not treating her well? Because she was definitely dating that guy that she was with, that she came in with.
Yes, she was definitely, I was like, he's either gay or that's her man. And and by the end of the night, I was like, okay, that's got to be her guy.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that was the same one. He looked, all three of those people that she was with that night looked terrified of her. So I would assume that not.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
What do you think?
I thought they were together. Because when she turned to him and said, I'm not doing this.
Right.
They were almost chest to chest.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, maybe. Oh, but you think it's the same guy she was talking about?
I don't know. I don't know. But if it's not, then she's dating way more than she says she is.
Oh, I think that's a given. Yeah. Okay. I think she's been dating.
Jesus, who is going on dates with
Shannon?
Shannon.
When Jesus. Especially they've seen how, like, what she's like on TV. You know,
I see these people on 90 Day Fiancé and on these shows, and I'm thinking they have slept with more people in a season than I have in my lifetime. Am I truly more heinous than I think I am? What the hell?
Well, that's it. It really is confusing because they have no problem scoring tail, especially on 90 Day Fiancé. Right. They have no problem scoring tail. Shannon has no problem finding a date, even though she's made an ass of herself.
Yeah.
But I have friends who are whining to me weekly about never having a Tinder date follow through.
Oh my God. I think I just need to stay married. If I'm ever miserable, I think I just need to stay married.
Just remind yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I do have one of your fans has a question about Real Housewives of Dallas.
Okay.
So she asks, I want to know whose side Troy is on when it comes to Brandy and Leanne. That's the first part.
Uh-huh.
And then also what you think of Cameron and the underlying issue between Deandra and Leanne. So let's start first between Brandy and Leanne.
Okay. This is an easy one for me. I'm going to be team Leanne because Leanne has been team Troy. So I feel like we have an alliance. Leanne was one of my early supporters. And I think talking to her one-on-one, I've learned she's playing the game.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, she's giving us good TV. And I will take some Dallas. By the way, I think Dallas is the unsung hero of Bravo right now. It's one of the most underrated Bravo shows. And I'll take it over OC or Jersey.
Over OC?
Yes, really? I will take it over OC. I think it's really good television. I think OC really needs to take a break and come back in a little while. But okay, Team Leanne, because Leanne has been Team Troy. Okay. And but I do have to say, I gotta give Brandy props. She really does stand up to Leanne. She's scrappy. She's like fiery redhead. So I'm into that. I'm not into the poop humor. So
yeah, I don't like that either.
Yeah, but
I mean,
yeah, I'll say
my friends
I'll
and I
team,
don't
team
sit
Leanne.
Around talking about diarrhea.
Yeah,
No. What do you think about Cameron?
Cameron has also been on my podcast, by the way, and I feel very differently than a lot of people about Cameron because I think she is playing a part, and I think she's playing it well. And she was more articulate than you might imagine. And if you're curious, I would recommend going back to look. As far as her involvement in this situation, I think she's trying to pull at a storyline here and shouldn't be involving herself, you know? I think that I think this whole society issue with Deandra is so ridiculous, you know, yeah. And them kind of vying for the for the position of, you know, grand dame is so silly, you know. So yeah. But overall I like her. I think she adds an interesting dimension to the show. By the way, all of these ladies do a great job of sharing the role of villain, and I think that's why I really like Dallas.
Yeah, they really play it up. I think Cameron, yeah. Like you said, she knows that she needed a storyline this season, and who better to hook yourself with than Leanne?
Right. Yeah. Then to be in an alliance with Leanne, that's totally surprising, by the way. And yeah. And then to go against Deandra, yeah, easy target.
Now, what do you think the underlying issue between Deandra and Leanne is?
I don't think that there's anything deep to it. I think Leanne has conflict with everyone in her life, okay. Right? Like, I think she's a damaged carny. I think she knows it. And I think that no one's safe. So
yeah. And Deandra probably has not had a lot of conflict in her life. So the smallest little yeah. bump in a friendship is going to become a huge thing.
And she's had such like a dominant mom that I think she just kind of like doesn't know how to handle it, you know?
She and, definitely is a strong character for sure.
Dee is the best. She makes that show.
She scares the incredible. Shit out of me.
She's like a mix of Miranda Priestly and Blanche Devereaux, right?
Ooh.
She's so great.
I would not want to spend the weekend at her house.
Like, I think she'd give Prissy a run for her money.
Oh, cat fight. I think Prissy would win, though.
I don't know. Mama D is severe.
Prissy would win because she would walk away with, like, the mic drop and be like, I'm done. I don't care. While D would still be wound up.
Yeah. Also, D doesn't want to get her makeup. She doesn't want to smear her makeup, you know?
My mom
would probably throw down.
Oh, God. I need to meet her sometime. Where does she live?
She's in Texas also.
Damn it. Okay.
Yeah, I'm from Georgia, but I have a lot of family in Texas, and she's been retired in Texas for a really long time.
Well, maybe I can have a layover somewhere in Texas and meet her for a drink.
It'll happen. Maybe we'll drag her ass to Charleston when we go.
Oh, please. Please do.
I would invite her to Mexico, but she won't go.
Oh. Is it just too south of the border?
I don't know what her deal is. It's real dangerous. She says it's real dangerous.
Oh, so. Okay. Well, she should talk to my mom because my mom is far too fearless to a scary extent. She almost got arrested in China, and I'm not kidding.
Really?
Yeah.
For doing
story.
What?
She held up her iPad because she thinks that's what you take photos with. And she started taking photos of some sort of street fight crime going on in the middle of the street. And apparently the Chinese government and police don't like that sort of thing getting out. So, yeah, tracked her down and took her.
No
yeah.
way.
Yeah, it's
Did
a whole
she
thing.
Get it back?
She got it back. But she
they
doesn't,
wiped it.
Yeah, she doesn't realize, like, she could have been locked up abroad. And this is not the political climate to be, you know, a hostage in China.
And it's not like she was probably going to share it with the world. She's probably not, like, if she's like my mom, she's not technologically savvy enough to even, like,
oh, Troy,
email it, right?
If you even knew what we had to go through. We had to put post-its. She doesn't know her phone number. It's a whole ordeal. Okay,
oh my
so
gosh.
I always like to have my guests play little games and I have a little bit of would you rather and then just some random questions. So
okay.
First, would you rather is, would you rather go shopping for Christmas ornaments in Jamaica with Gina or go shopping for insurance in Jamaica with Vicky?
I'll go with Vicky. Oh, wait, you said Jamaica?
Yes.
Ooh. No, I'm not going to go with Vicky. No, okay, I changed my mind. I don't know why I was stuck on Mexico. I'm going to go with Gina.
But if you were in Mexico, you would go insurance shopping with Vicky.
I'll go insurance shopping with Vicky. I feel like she knows her way around.
She has some amigos.
Yeah, I hear she's got connections to good weed. I don't know.
You think Vicky really smokes weed?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, you're
think
in California, where it's legal.
Yeah,
no
big deal. But I've heard about her trying, like, hitting up somebody in Palm Springs once for marijuana. Yeah, I think I don't think it wouldn't put it past her.
I feel like she would go really paranoid.
I don't want to be around her. No.
Yeah, no. Okay, so would you rather spend Christmas or the holidays with Heather Dubrow?
Ooh.
Or, get ready for this one, Christmas / holidays with Carlton Gebbia.
Ooh. Gotta be the Dubrows, right?
Oh.
I don't know. What do you think?
Oh, they're so... I don't make up this game to play it because it's so cruel. Oh, God. Heather Dubrow is just so...
My first inclination was that Heather, that would be exhausting. First of all, I would show up and I wouldn't be dressed appropriately. And she would definitely let me know. Okay. I would use the wrong fork at dinner and I would probably get ridiculed for that. I would be made to feel very small.
Mm-hmm.
But the food would be delicious. The atmosphere would be beautiful. And maybe I could cozy up to Terry and get some free Botox.
Oh, but, God, that'd be incredible.
Right? But then I just feel like it might be even more exhausting at Carlton's house, right? Like, she would be forcing her paganism on me. I might have to engage in a spell. I don't know. It could be interesting.
I feel like she would have, like, there would be some Me Too movements going on when you left that house.
Right.
Like, you know, it's kind of a dangerous situation.
I might get chained up and never be allowed to leave. Yeah.
You know what? One of the gals that was at the meetup the night before the ropes course, she lives in the same neighborhood as Heather Dubrow. And she was telling me that the reason Heather hasn't shown her house or couldn't be on the show was that, and maybe you can clear this up, was that their homeowners association will not allow the filming.
I totally think that that's possible.
And then 100%. Bravo was like, well, if we can't see your house, then what's the big deal? What do you have?
Yeah, maybe so. I definitely don't think that Heather just left at her on her own volition, right?
Yeah.
But I think she probably was like, oh, well, I don't think it was as devastating to Heather Dubrow as it might be for, I don't know, maybe somebody like Gina, you know, who is a little younger, maybe not as established, isn't married to a plastic surgeon or getting divorced to a plastic surgeon.
Right.
So probably not as devastating to her. I really miss her, though. I would love to see her come back, especially because I loved how mean she was to Shannon.
Oh, my God. She is a very good cringe watch. She's the definition of cringe watch.
Yeah. Miss some fancy pants.
Right. Okay. Who is most likely to have reindeer antlers and a nose on their car? You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, totally.
I hate Rudolph cars with a passion. I love Christmas, but Rudolph cars make me absolutely homicidal.
There's something about that polyester material that makes me itch, right?
It's people wearing Santa hats, just walking around the grocery store in a Santa hat. Take that fucking thing off. You're not at the North Pole. So hate that. And I hate reindeer antlers on cars. Who's most likely out of, let's say, the cast of Orange County?
Okay.
Or, who do you want to say? Dallas. Who in Dallas or Orange County?
Okay. Out of Dallas, I'm going to go with Brandy because that's just sort of a childish thing to find funny, right? Her humor is just so low base that I think she would get a kick out of that. Then out of Orange County, Oh gosh. Maybe Gina. Maybe Gina, oh. Because people from Jersey don't always have the most tact or the most. Tact isn't the right word. People from Jersey can be a little tacky.
Okay.
So
okay.
Maybe that, and she's got young kids. I don't know. That's not a great answer.
No, I was thinking Shannon, because sometimes Shannon is like, I'm kooky, I'm funny. Isn't this hilarious?
Oh. Yeah. Mm. I don't know. Maybe you're right. I can see her kind of like sadly doing it, going to like the 99-cent store and
like the antlers are drooping kind of a thing.
Right. Yeah, totally.
Okay, two more questions and then I'm going to let you off the hook. Who would you trust to hold your little zip line thing from the cast of Real Housewives of Dallas? Who's at the bottom of that zip line, like anchoring it so you don't fall?
Dallas. I'm going to go with Carrie.
Oh, okay.
Carrie's got a firm surgical hand. Right?
Yeah. They're just hands, but they're surgical hands, right?
Right. Yeah. Or maybe Leanne. She's got two hands. They're just hands.
Maybe she'd be strong. Ones. Yeah, she'd have a strong grip. She would not need gloves. Like she would just She'd have a grip on that. Okay. Who would be the one person, any housewife, any city, that you would love to walk around Target with?
Oh, that's a good question. Dorinda all the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Dorinda's down. I could see her having a good time. She's not going to turn her nose up at a little Target, right?
She might slip some rum chata into the coffee from Starbucks.
100. Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, we'll be drunk before we get there.
Sit down on the furniture in the Jonathan Adler aisle, just chatting it up.
Right. We'll throw some gang signs on aisle 6. It'll be awesome.
Oh, I love it. Okay. So Troy and I are arranging a little giveaway here.
Yes.
And since we're so professional at this, we're going to try to do this. So Troy was saying that there are some amazing items over at Taste of Reality at the, what do we say, the merch store, the shop?
Yeah. If you just go over to tasteofreality.com. There are 6 little icons at the top of the screen. The last one is store. Just click on store and it will take you to our Taste of Reality store on Redbubble. We have a ton of custom artwork hand-drawn by this designer named Liz Brittany. She's super talented. There's a ton of housewife stuff on there. 90 Day Fiancé stuff, which is really fun. I did that, so I'm really proud of that work.
I saw the Angela one, which is amazing.
I owe it to you, you know, for introducing me to the show, which we covered on the episode that you were on, and I'm just obsessed now.
It's great.
And anyway, there's a ton of stuff: t-shirts, sweaters, pillows, totes, leggings. We've got Dorinda leggings. Like, can you believe it? All sorts of awesome stuff.
So what we're going to do is if you go to my iTunes page or Troy's iTunes page and you leave a review, or if you have left a review in the past, what you're going to want to do is take a little snapshot of the 5-star review you left us, because come on, be nice. Give us a 5-star review. If you shoot those over to me at Jody@realitytvpodcast, I'll put your name in for a random drawing and you will get to pick something from the Taste of Reality store. So what this is going to look like is if you've left a review on Troy's, you're going to go take a little screenshot, send it to me or mine. And if you do both, or if you have already done both in the past, send them both to me and you'll be entered twice. So you'll get, is it double the chances? Is that mathematically accurate or no?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Something like that.
We've got the idea.
We'll leave the math up to someone else. So yeah, so we'll do that. And I think I'll do the drawing. Oh, let's give them what, over a week, like the 15th, 16th, something like that. So you have plenty of time to go and
10 days.
Leave the reviews. And yeah, it'll be fun. But definitely go and check out the shop, because if you're a 90 Day Fiancé fan, especially the Vanderpump Rules one, I don't know who it is, but there's two guys kissing and it's hilarious.
Tom. It's Tom and Tom kissing.
It's great.
It's from the photo that Lisa Vanderpump put up in Tom, the bar. It's from a real photo, but Liz hand drew it, and it's really fun.
Okay, you gotta go check it out. So Troy, where can everyone find you and find these old episodes that you interviewed all the talent on?
Yes, so tasteofreality.com. Just look at that nav bar at the top. There's a podcast section where you can find all of the episodes, including my amazing episode with Jody, where she taught me all about 90 Day Fiancé. It is a hoot, so definitely go give it a listen. There's a buzz section where we cover all the gossip, and then, of course, the store. And then you can just find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all of those places, taste_of_reality.
Oh, well, thanks for coming on. We could do it again when there's something juicy that comes up.
Yes. And then we can talk about the event next time.
Yes. Secret it out, everyone.
Yes. Thank you.
You did it. You made it to the end of the podcast today. It was a big one, but it was phenomenal. That's what she said. Now, remember, leave those 5-star reviews. Send me an email of your snapshot at jody@realitytvpodcast.com, and I'll enter you for the drawing to pick any item of your choice on tasteofreality.com. Remember to sign up for Patreon at the $5 level. You'll get all the bonus episodes, a keychain, all that good stuff. Subscribe, share, tell a friend. Have a great week ahead. And remember, stay salty.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
L-E-T-E-N-P-C. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Okay. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.